John?
Probably.
Now you know the excitement of the PSC.
Well, I'm gonna wait to
Okay, you're on.
Okay, we'll begin the administrative portion of our meeting. It is still May 10th, 11:55, or 10:55 approximately. There are two items on the consent portion. I move passage.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Since seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, discussion matters. First thing is House Concurrent Resolution 3010. Julie, you want to?
Absolutely.
Read on that?
Well, you guys recall this maybe briefly from the legislative session. Brian, I'm not sure if you were here for the for this discussion, but the Concurrent Resolution 3010 basically calls on the agencies in the state of North Dakota to work with public and private electric utilities to ensure that they're taking the steps to respond to the threats of the electromagnetic magnetic pulses and other nuclear electromagnetic pulses, and really to shore up the grid and strengthen the grid. And this has been really led by a fellow named Ken Sletten, who has had a lot of interaction with all of us, and he's really knowledgeable on this subject, and he's a strong advocate for it, and really has done a ton of research on this subject as well. And so he's curious now, and I'm glad he's bringing this up. He's curious what we're going to do as a result of this resolution. And the resolution doesn't specify any necessary action per se, but I do think that Ken makes some good points as to what we might be able to do and help leading some of the discussion and public awareness on this issue. So he's written all of us an email with some different points in it and different suggestions. And I thought there might be a couple of different avenues we could take, but what I'm kind of proposing and wanted to see how you guys feel about it is that we set up a meeting with Ken and have him kind of walk through some of his research and some of the highlights of what he's found. He's found some really good public presentations. He's done, you know, various FBI type research materials that are available, different presentations that have been testified to Congress. That so if we could sort of charge him to come up with maybe a half hour to 45 minutes summary or briefing for us, and then we could take it where we feel needs to be, you know, what the next steps need to be. So that would be one avenue. The second avenue I thought might be to involve Ken and invite the utilities that we regulate to send a representative from their operations that is up to speed on what they're doing to prepare for these types of events, so we could have them involved in the conversation and maybe have it be more just a briefing and then some next steps perhaps, or help us be better informed from the utility side too to know what they're doing already and where the gaps might be. And then the third option that I was thinking is I'm sure that there are there's expertise within NARUC on this subject as well. And we could check in with NARUC and see what sorts of research they've done. They might have a best practices manual available for commissions. There might be some additional materials there. Maybe they have staff that are up to speed on the various jurisdictions involved with FERC, with NERC, with, you know, at the federal level, the state level, the utility level, and how other commissions are wrestling with this. So we could do that in steps, one after another. We could do perhaps Ken and the utilities together and then follow up with NARUC, or if you guys have other suggestions, I'm open to that as well.
Well, I kind of like where you're heading with this. Just a couple things that I'll add that I've thought about, you know, preparing for this agenda. In getting together for a meeting with Ken, Mm-hmm. You know, I think that would be good, and we're just going to have to, you know, get on it and schedule it.
Yep.
I hate to see him always, he is passionate about this and spends a lot of his own money on these things. And, you know, this isn't something that's going to happen overnight. If he'd be willing to wait that long, I would suggest that there'd be the possibility that we could meet with him after the Minot portion of the Senex pipeline meeting. And he could only come down as far as Minot and maybe spend some time with them and gauge some of his thoughts on it. The other thought in going on further, the days are starting to run together. Was it yesterday or the day before when we met with MISO?
That was on Monday.
Talked about doing that quarterly or semi-annually or three times a year or whatever it's going to be, and potentially doing something like that with SPP. You know, when we do that as infrequently as we have, there's always a lot to talk about, but you wonder, okay, if we did it real frequently, what would we talk about? This could potentially be a whole two-hour meeting with each of those and finding out what they're doing. Last thing I'll point out, I wish I'd saved the article. I believe it's still on my computer, but there was just, you know, one of these articles from one of the groups that sends out their press clippings every day that I think it was probably Morning Consult that had something where kind of a split faction among U.S. senators and you know, some very high profile names were mentioned in there. Some that feel that this isn't something they really want to spend time or resources addressing, and some that feel very strongly it is a big deal. And I don't know if there's information to be garnered from some of those who do feel it's important, or the other ones and why they don't feel it's real pressing.
And maybe we can ask staff to dig into that a little bit as well. Okay. Do you have any other additional thoughts,
Mark? No, I agree with meeting with Ken and actually talking a little bit with John Hamry, who previously was in the Coast Guard, and it's something they actually took a look at. And I don't know if it hasn't been addressed to any real extent. It's been talked about. I don't know if the cost riders associated with the equipment prohibit, but yeah, it's when you think whether it's a solar event or a potential nuclear event down the road or whenever it should occur, it would essentially knock out the grid as Ken describes it. Mm-hmm. In its entirety, and it would be down for an extended period of time. So I would like to sit down, hear more from Ken, and as well as getting some of the utilities involved.
You know, and just another resource that just popped to mind is Tony Clark, because I know through his FERC tenure, this was something that he brought up on several different speeches that I heard him talk about. And so he has expertise from his time at FERC that he might be willing to share and could be either connected via you know, telecommunications or maybe when he's back sometimes. So I'll work with Ken on a date. It will be after the end of July because he's got some travel. I like your idea of trying to collaborate in Minot. I think it might be a little optimistic to tack that on at the end of that hearing because it might be a long day.
It might be.
So I sort of hate to do that. And I want to be more fresh than I feel at the end of a typical lengthy pipeline hearing to talk about solar EMPs, which is not a non-technical subject. So we'll talk with Ken and try to come up with a date that works and get this on the schedule. And then do you have sense whether we should do it just with Ken? You want to invite the utilities to come? I mean, he is the North Dakota coordinator for the EMP task force. I don't know exactly what that means. And I'd like to explore that a little bit more with him as well. But
well, you know, the companies get a lot of opportunities to talk to us. And if we have a meeting with Ken, it will be an open meeting. And
right.
So they are certainly able to attend. But I don't want to see them come in and take up all of his time.
Right.
They can come whenever we want to meet him. And he's doing it on his own dime. And so I'd like to at some point have a meeting with him when we make sure that he gets all the time he needs, because he has put a lot into the subject and brings some real, it's not just anyone out, that he has technical training in these areas.
Right.
And brings a lot of expertise.
So I'll talk to Ken and see. I mean, he may welcome some dialogue with the utilities. I would envision him getting, you know, the first 45 minutes anyway, regardless, to present kind of the highlights of what he's learned and what he knows and what his greatest concerns are. And then he might welcome some dialogue with the utilities to hear what they're learning about and including already in some of their plans. So I'll work with Ken on that, and we'll come up with an agenda and a format for the meeting.
Sounds good.
All right.
Okay, the second discussion item is the metrology lab. And we did sell the equipment that we'd previously talked about, most of our metrology equipment. There are some things remaining over there that we still use. And there's actually more stuff that we need to be able to store than what is over there at the moment, because some of the things that they primarily test in the summer is now out in the trucks, and that stuff also gets stored in the wintertime. So Conrad and I went through and looked it over. If you recall, you know, we've got a big part of that building, and there's the one, what I'm going to call the lab, that was the most sensitive area. As I didn't measure it, it's probably about 10 feet by 20 feet, and there's a kind of an entryway that comes to it, and then you take another left and go into that lab. Conrad and I looked around, and we feel that everything that we have, even in the wintertime, can comfortably fit into that lab. And the only thing we would really need is the lock is to the entryway, not the lab. And then if someone else has access to the entryway, we would need to make sure that they don't store stuff and block our door. And I, beyond metrology things, AML also has some things stored over there, you know, fencing and such for when there's a hole that they can run out and circle it off and that sort of thing. That also will fit in there. In another room, we have a flame cabinet. You know, think of a great big cabinet like the equipment deal there, except it's metal and there's paint thinner and things like that for when the inspectors have to work on their equipment. And so that would need to get moved over there as well. There's some like bumper steps that are over there. And then lastly, I will point out that there is some other scale testing equipment that belongs to the Highway Patrol and is not ours, and so I don't want there to be confusion on that. And then there's three climate controllers. I don't know the value of them exactly, but they are of some value that is significant.
Brand new, they're about $3,000 a piece.
Okay, new $3,000 a piece. I don't know if your mic was on or not. And there's three of those, and for what we're going to be storing, we do not need them. That lab is, you know, controlled with a thermostat. I see nothing that. Oh, and they are not our property. That's why we couldn't sell them. Actually, in checking into it, they happen to be the property of facility management. So all these things that I've just told you, I had a discussion with Mr. Boyle, and he, you know, because he had contacted me earlier wondering, you know, if we can relinquish some of that space over there. They have other uses for it and such. I laid this out for him, that if that lock were changed, if the entryway was kept open, they move that flame cabinet over there and our other equipment, would that be an agreeable solution to him? And it was. And now I'm coming to see if the commission feels any differently. I had also told them that I didn't think that we were going to see a need for them to hold on to those climate controllers. And, oh, I guess I didn't mention the last part of the story. South Dakota, when they bought the other equipment that we owned, they were very interested in acquiring those. And so facility management could actually probably get something for them instead of just throwing them away right now. So anyway, that would be kind of the change instead of control. I really don't know exactly which rooms over there are under our domain and which aren't, because other people are using them, and it's kind of chaotic the way it's run.
So the bottom line is we'd consolidate all our stuff into the lab.
Into that lab, and they'd move the lock over there. Yeah,
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I did a walkthrough with Conrad, and makes sense.
Okay, so hearing no objection, I'll continue to pursue whatever we have to do to come up to a deal with that with facility management.
Good, good.
Okay. Number three, Commissioner Fedorchak, is yours.
Did any of you guys receive this same email?
Yes,
in the packet.
State here. Group, did you receive it from them originally?
I think it just went to you, the original
okay.
one.
Thank you, Chairman. I guess. This is a group of state economic and environmental regulators, so people like us and then people like Dave Glott. And they're getting together to talk about the future of energy policy and work to determine strategies that are best for the state and region. I don't know how often they plan to get together, but they want to get together, and they've sent out a poll to me on potential dates. And it looks to me like it's going to be meetings that are, you know, not in North Dakota. They said they expect to have a sponsor for travel of two representatives from each state. And it's going to be facilitated by the Great Plains Institute. I don't really know what their goals are or what they expect to achieve with this. So, I'm not looking for more meetings and more organizations for us to get involved in. We've got NARUC, we've got MARC, we've got MISO, we've got SPP. And so what this group would do that's different from those is that we would be conversing with the environmental folks as well. And so I don't know. I wanted to get your guys' thoughts and if you see any value. I don't feel strongly one way or the other.
I think the Great Plains Institute, you know, has done what they've done with MRITs, and this is basically the MRITs of SPP, the way I see it. And MRITs was the...
Does Great Plains... I don't know what they did with MRITs. What did they do with MRITs?
Well, they...
I
don't know that they... It's what they do, you know, put on meetings and get government people to come to them and...
But MRETS is that
meetings.
Group that calculates the renewable energy.
No, not MRETS. MSEER.
MSEER. Okay.
MSEER, as I read this, this sounds just what MSEER does in MISO. This would be an SPP.
Oh, I see.
And, you know, Brad kind of gets these meetings going and facilitates and.
Right.
I think I have always felt that if we had more time and resources, we could commit even more time and resources to our work in MISO and SPP. And I think that would be the next step up in activity that I would rather see than getting involved in more heavily than just monitoring MSEER or now this one.
Mm-hmm. Now... Just for the sake of if the travel is sponsored and it's not a cost, is it something that might be valuable to send staff, even to kind of monitor at the beginning stages to see?
Here's one thought I have. If we're not exactly sure how they're going to outline their goals and objectives or how it's going to work, is there any danger in just tracking them for a while, seeing what type of what they come up with, the points that they make, or the direction that they're going? We could certainly send. Are you talking about sending an observer in effect?
Like someone from PUD. If Sarah or Vic or somebody wanted to go and kind of see, and I'm not sure if they would. even go for that, they might want the decision makers. But
well, I think at most we should do that, and at least get the minutes after they have the first meeting or two, and I'm sure they'll still welcome us into the fold.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I understand Jerry, your apprehension, and
might
I
want to get on a mic, Jerry.
Got to grab a mic, Jerry.
Commissioner Weefald used to go to their stuff all the time, and she was a regular member and pretty active with them. And I went with them on a few of those things, and it's kind of a environmental type of thing and energy policy type discussions, stuff like that. So there was something that she became involved in and wanted to do just as her own rather than as the commission doing it. And I just thought I'd toss that in there to give you the history.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where if a group gets going down a path that gets some legs, it's good to be involved in that so that there's, you know, all sides are represented. So that's one of the things that I think might warrant some attention. And I think Brian might have a good approach, monitor it for a while and see if we think it's going to be productive use of time and go from there.
Oh, I'm fine with, yeah,
that
with
part.
Monitoring it and see where it's going.
Send staff.
Well, of course, our PUD staff is down one from what we were before. We have all this siting. Usually these things involve at least 2 days. For the initial meeting or two, do we feel a need even to send staff or to read the minutes? I guess I won't oppose the idea, but, you know, when we're trying to accomplish things and nobody's around, it's frustrating too.
Right. Well, we can just see how it materializes the first couple meetings. I don't know Mike Teague. I do know Ted Thomas and work pretty closely with him through MISO. And I can get a better sense from him as to what the group's goal is as well. Is South Dakota doing this? Christy is, looks like.
Well, they're invited. I think this is the list.
This is the invited list. Oh, I see here, yeah.
I was invited.
Okay, well, Pat, can you assign somebody to monitor them for the first couple of meetings.
And I think it should be Victor because he does SPP.
Sure. Well, and then I can forward this letter to him so he has at least this background. Yeah, I guess that seems fine.
The first meeting, I'm not ruling out. Let's see what direction they're going in the first meeting. If it's, I won't say that.
I mean, it's another forum to be expressing concerns on the reliability and baseload, you know, the future of baseload generation. This group may not be real advocates for that, but they should be thinking about it too. So, anyway. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, number four, Heart of Dakota Packing. Let's turn this one over to Conrad.
All right, commissioners, this morning I sent around just kind of an informative memorandum on the kind of some of the outlining history that we've had with this facility. I don't know if all three of you had a chance to review that or not.
Haven't gone through it real. I've kind of skimmed it here while we're talking about other things. So
no problem. I can give you just a kind of a brief overview of the process we've had happen. So
should Can we hold off on this and go into our scheduling? And we might have to address this a little bit later.
Yeah, that's fine.
Let's move into scheduling. The number one, the rescheduling the informal on November 16th. I can't even remember what that was about. So we have.
I think the 16th is NARUC. And
I made an email to put it on the scheduling. Rescheduling.
Let's see what was on there.
Let's move on to the PI meetings. Daryl, do you have some proposed dates?
I do have proposed dates. We're looking at Tuesday morning of May 30th, Monday, June 5th, excuse me, from 1 to 2:30. Wednesday,
hey, I'm gone the 5th in all the way through the 13th. So if any of those dates are on there.
Okay. Well, so that's three of the four. The 30th would work for me.
Yep.
May 30th?
That works for me, too.
How about you, Brian?
I believe so, yes.
What time do you want to have that? Anybody
Nine?
Have a preference?
Whatever works for you guys.
9 o'clock?
Yeah, 9 o'clock work?
Do you want it here or at the office?
Wait, here.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Let's jump to four, the semi-annual MISO updates.
Okay, so we just had this, we had a talk with them this week, so we can look down, like maybe when it would be a good time to talk about things before leading into this winter season, Jerry. October?
Well, you know, they do a summer readiness assessment.
Yeah.
And then that's when they peak.
Right.
And I think they have, I'm trying to recall what they do for winter. But
that survey is done when the OMS survey and those results. I mean, there's some deadlines, it seems, that come out, information that might be valuable at a certain time this fall.
You know, I'm thinking if we just had one, so if we go ahead, you know, like late fall time frame.
So if
they should have their draft transmission expansion plan out. It won't be approved yet, but we'll know more about it of that. And
so if we did October and April, if we looked at October and April as kind of our times generally to set these up?
Sure.
Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if we look into October. We've got some funky.
Let me just throw out the 17th or the 19th. It's one day on either side of meeting, so apparently nobody's gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Those days.
Looking at the 17th.
There must be a lot of open days in October yet. So
let's.
Does October 17th work?
Works for me.
As far as I know.
Okay, let's go with the 17th then.
Do we want to have SPP come in at the same time? I know in the past we had tried to have updates from both of them on the same day.
We could.
It's not necessary.
But I don't
want
them at the same time. Like, let's do a MISO.
Then they pack the room because they both take advantage to hear the other one.
Right.
I don't know if that.
I think that was our assumption, is that they were going to want to hear what the other one has to say, so they were all going to show up anyway. So we would
helpful or if it's a hindrance.
Right.
You know, they probably wouldn't, like, SPP didn't come yesterday.
Right.
But had they been on in the morning, they'd have sure stuck around for it. And I don't know if that's good or bad that people.
Sometimes it's good because there's enough seams issues there that they have going on. And it might be helpful for us to to be able to have with clarity, see with clarity some of the distinctions between the two when you have things back to back.
And I would think the issues are going to be fresher in our mind. You know, we're going to be thinking transmission
right
at that time versus other things.
So. Well, let's do them both. Let's do one in the afternoon and one in the morning.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we'll have that in mind and see once if we think it was a good or bad move to have them both.
And then the utilities will come too.
We do MISO in the afternoon.
I don't care. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That would be fine. At, let's say, 1 o'clock for MISO.
Sure.
And then we can say, do we want to do 2 hours? Is that, that's what the other states have done. So 10 to noon. And maybe we should say 1:30 so people can grab lunch. 1:30 to 3:30.
Okay.
On the 17th. And then let's just get it out there for next April so we don't forget it.
Wow. Jerry, is 1:30 too early, or is that even
1:30?
Okay.
Work, yeah.
Okay. Anything else on that one?
So I want to add one for next for April too, April of 2018.
Okay, let's jump to number 5. Is that rescheduled now for May 16th at 10:30?
Yes.
Okay.
Did we? We get confirmation?
I did. I get confirmation just this morning.
Okay,
so
perfect.
We are good all around on that one.
Okay, thank you.
So that one is done. Then, and 6, Julie, is what?
No, I wanted to schedule a semiannual MISO update for next April too. We weren't quite done with that one.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant. I guess it is May already, so April should have told me you were talking about further out. Okay. Okay, so
April of 18. I know that's forever from now, but let's get them on the calendar, and maybe we don't even have commission meetings set. So let's skip a Wednesday and maybe just throw it out there for like April 19th at same times, 10 and 1:30 for MISO and SPP.
Okay. We have time to change it.
Yeah, April 19th.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
And a summer barbecue. Do you have some date in mind?
I don't have any dates in mind. I think we just pushed that off from the last time. But not in June, not any time before the 4th of July. So, and then we've got neighbor.
July is not going to work.
Let's do August.
Do we avoid August? Because that's when we kind of minimize our meetings so people can go on vacations. Do we avoid that, or is that the time to do it? When
I would,
I mean, some people might then set their vacation and then miss this.
Right, that's true. What about this last year? We did it actually in early September.
In September,
it was
wasn't
actually
it?
Kind of
I,
more of a fall thing, but
yeah,
it worked out except for there were some bees. It wasn't too bad.
And they weren't invited.
Let's look at September.
All right. Not much of a summer barbecue in September, but
that's a
going to be a long extended summer.
All right.
Sparkle is earlier. People will go home.
Randy, you're such a curmudgeon. Cal, you're not invited. How about Tuesday? Let's see, not Tuesday. Let's say Wednesday. Oops, I'm in the wrong month. Should we say Wednesday, September 5th?
That's a Tuesday.
Oh, whoops, I'm in 2018 now. I went ahead to the next. Okay, sorry.
It's the day after Labor Day and the day before a commission meeting, so I don't know if...
No, I meant Wednesday, this Wednesday of that week, the 6th. So that's a day of a commission meeting, so we're here. Those are usually work out pretty good.
Yeah.
It's all right. Okay, Wednesday, September 6th. And we'll have to set the location. And it worked out all right doing the grilling in the park. That was kind of fun.
You're in charge of that, right?
Well, I set the location, then you guys have to drag the grills.
You're in charge of the organizational stuff. That was a good location last summer.
Yeah, I thought it went pretty.
People liked the park.
Yeah, the kids could run around and stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll plan a plan on the same place. Okay. Very good. Be ready to grill.
I am ready.
Okay.
Esther, I personally love a good barbecue, and I like people to stay late.
Oh, good. I knew I liked you, Brian.
Esther, I'm thinking that wasn't to reschedule that informal, but that it just wasn't going to work out, and I can't remember what the conflict is, but I think we just need to take that off the calendar.
Okay. Seems weird that far in advance why we would want to do that.
Actually, so in order to make sure we don't make a bad decision, let's just put that on for scheduling next time.
Yeah. Again. I don't remember either. We did move the commission meeting to that day because of NARUC that week, and I don't know why.
I'll do a little more research. Okay, anything else on scheduling or on administrative matters at all?
Not for me.
If not, we are adjourned.